Welcome to the Weather Channel podcast from Kangerlussuaq, Greenland. I'm Kate Parker.
I'm Jim Robinson.
How are you, Kate?
I'm on top of the world, Jim. Literally and figuratively.
We have this inside joke because we're on Instagram. If you're following us at Weather Channel, we're doing Instagram stories. And so Kate is on a snowmobile. And, the funny thing is she says, I'm on top of the world and this is my ride. It's a whole thing that we've created.
And Jim played that clip no fewer than 3,000 times.
I love you, but I hate the clip.
So we have officially lost our minds at the top of the world. Okay, so we are in Greenland, and we came here with the 109th Airlift Wing. It's a part of the Air National Guard. They're based in Scotia, New York, and they have this remarkable job, something you may have never heard of. They take LC-130s and land them on the ice. That's right, on the ice cap in Greenland, as well as in Antarctica. These missions are vital. They support the National Science Foundation, getting research done, and keeping people alive out in Arctic conditions. They have something called Cool School, which we're recording this as we're waiting to take off. You think we're going to get to Cool School, Jim?
I'm really doubting it, actually. I'm really worried about this weather. Because ultimately it's going to come down to the wind and whether or not we can land, and we're hoping to get out there. I would love to see you freeze.
Thanks, Jim. Well, coincidentally, it's actually a little too warm out there for Cool School. And that's Arctic Survival School on barren land, which means there are no trees. There's nothing to burn, fire to keep you warm. And so the Air National Guard, they come and they learn all these skills. If you hear any sounds behind us, by the way, we are at the fire station. This is, in the shadow of the tower of the Kangerlussuaq Airport. You're going to hear maybe some planes taking off. Maybe not ours, but that's where our pilot comes in. We have a friend here who is one of the pilots for this squadron. Would you mind introducing yourself?
Hi, everybody. I'm Major Christopher Husher, and I've been in the unit for about 3 years now.
Okay, so we're in Greenland. When did you get here?
I actually brought you guys up on Friday.
Well, that's rude.
I was the co-pilot on that one.
Okay, so I'm a bit of a jerk.
And you did a great job, by the way. Just want to put that out there.
We couldn't even tell we landed.
Yeah, that was amazing. We got up and we said, wait, are we here? When did we touch down, Kate? And so,
great job.
If you get the chance, fly on an LC-130 with these pilots. They're pretty fantastic. So let's just kind of start with the basics of why aren't we getting to Cool School at the moment? I mean, what kind of weather is preventing you from landing on skis on the ice cap?
Up in Greenland, we have many different fields. At Raven, we have a skiway, and it has weather at the moment. But what we need is the minimum weather to land, and that's going to be about 300 feet of clouds and then 1 mile of visibility.
So you are not having those conditions. Is it the temperature or the wind right now that's the problem?
Right now it's the wind, which is causing visibility issues. So it's blowing the snow around, and our airplane is not allowed to get on the ground with any more than 35 knots of wind. Right now we have 38 knots, gusting up to 60 knots. So we can't even land the plane, and the visibility is right now at 1,000 meters, so that doesn't help us either.
That's like a gentle breeze. What do you mean?
We should be able to land and take
Easy.
Off vertically, right?
You guys are pros.
Yeah, where's the helicopter when you need it? Can you, for people who are just, we're listening here, and they're not on our Instagram looking at our stories and not looking at a picture of this aircraft, can you describe it? Because imagining something on skis, you might be picturing a small aircraft. This ain't small.
Right, yeah, this is a pretty big, it's one of our smaller of the cargo planes in the Air Force. It's a normal C-130 with three skis on it. The nose ski weighs roughly the size of a Volkswagen Bug.
What?
And then it has two main skis in the back that weigh considerably more. I'm not sure how much those weigh.
If they weigh more than a VW Bug, we're getting the picture.
Oh, God, yeah.
And all of this is powered through hydraulic pressure. So the hydraulic pressure will lift the skis up and put them back down. So we can do wheeled operations or ski operations depending on where the skis are located. So
what is the difference between landing one of these LC-130s on an ice cap versus landing a regular 747 at, Albany's airport?
The lack of visual references. There's not much.
Someone mentioned that it's like flying in a ping pong ball. I think it was Ben German over here. So essentially, there's no horizon. You have no discernible, you know, there's just no way to really tell, right? So you're relying solely on the instruments.
On the worst of days, yes, it's like flying inside of a ping pong ball. If we have good days where it's nice and sunny outside, you got a good horizon, and you can usually see shadows on the snow, so it's easy to kind of tell the ground. On bad days, the horizon definition could be poor or nil, and that's when it's like flying inside of a ping pong ball, and that's when you really got to trust your instruments and trust the rest of your crew to help you get down on the ground or the snow, really.
Listen, I don't think you get much more closer than we are right now to the action. You got the guys who are just getting ready for the next mission to Raven, and so you're going to hear cars, you're going to hear planes taking off and everything else, so just... That's where we are. Just want to set that scene for you a little bit. So you're going to hear some of the fellows in the background.
I also should mention, we briefly talked about Raven. Well, Raven Camp is this location where they do cool school. And that is, from what I understand, Barren Land Arctic Survival School. And yes, Jim and I are trying to get out there so we can sleep on an ice sheet. Yes, we are insane and have certifiably lost our minds because, no, we are not a part of the Air National Guard or flying missions to Antarctica, but somehow we thought it'd be really cool to go to cool school. So can you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Yes, Barren Land Arctic Survival. Wow, I did that 2 years ago, so I have a vague memory of it. Basically, it's above tree line Arctic survival, so there's no trees to burn, there's no animals out there to eat or hunt, or play with, or anything like that.
Or photograph.
The one thing we got plenty of is water. there's lots of ice, I guess I should say.
I was going to ask you if we should bring extra water with us, because it doesn't seem like there's a lot of water there.
we typically will have a good amount of fuel to burn, so what we'll do is we'll cut off chunks of ice, melt it down, make water out of it. When I went through Arctic survival training, or cool school, it was 2 days out on the ice. First day was pretty vanilla. It was sleeping in a tent and a lot of academics out in the field, practice cutting the snow and ice, practice making shelters, practice surviving with the equipment that you had on the plane. And then the next day was build your, you know, shelter out of ice. That's where a
more non-vanilla day, I guess.
Right. That's when things got. That's when things get weird. You end up building like an igloo or a makeshift igloo or maybe just a hole in a pile of snow, and tunneling yourself in there. I built a fighter trench, which is basically looks like a coffin.
That sounds wonderful. Could we get that?
Yeah. Do you think we'll have that luxury out there?
I'm gonna stay in a coffin.
If we get to cools, and I say if because again we're in a holding pattern for weather. Do you think we can build an igloo for ourselves?
I think that's possible. Okay. And the fighter trench is probably the easiest one. The igloo is the hardest one. And then there's a snow cave. That's another one. That's just a hole in a pile of snow.
But is it warm?
It is surprisingly warm inside the snow cave and the igloo. The fighter trench, not so warm.
But that's the one you chose.
Yeah, I froze my butt off.
Okay, so cool school, that whole thing, getting out there is a challenge. I understand that when it's warmer, it's actually harder for you guys to land. Why is that?
When it's warmer, the snow gets, well, obviously wetter. And when it's wetter, it's more sticky. So it just instantly sticks to the skis and we get stuck. And at that point, we have to wait for either conditions to get better or us to get lighter to get off the snow.
So that's the other thing that we're kind of transitioning to as well, is because if you suddenly get into a situation where you cannot get the aircraft off the ground, what do you do? Because, you know, I mean, you can only have so much runway, I guess. But then after that, you know, you're kind of part of the snow.
Yeah, it's definitely an unnerving situation. I was actually out there 3 days ago, and it took me 8 slides to get off at Raven.
What does that mean whenever you say slides? Because we have another question about slides in just a second, about a story we heard. But what does a slide mean?
It's a takeoff attempt. So every time we push up the power to max power and slide down the runway, that is called one slide.
But you're not getting lift.
No. The most speed I got on the first 5 slides was 40 knots.
So you have a really fast, really expensive, really big snowmobile at that point.
Right.
So we heard a little rumor that recently at one of the camps, it took 21 slides to take off and that it was a 17,000 foot, I say runway, but iceway, skiway. What is the proper name?
That would be a skiway.
Skiway. Is that true? That's true?
Oh, yeah, absolutely true. We gave him a nickname of Blackjack. 21 slides.
21 slides. So that adds up to quite a lot of distance whenever you start calculating how many feet it takes to get off the ground.
Yeah, what is that, about 3 miles?
60 miles?
3 miles each slide?
Each slide times 20, yeah,
yeah,
60 miles.
That's a long way.
So that was just poor conditions and eventually did get off the ground?
Summit, that was up at Summit. Usually we have problems up there due to the crosswinds. Whenever you have crosswinds on the skiway, we'll end up having to pull one of our four engines back in power just to maintain directional control.
Wow.
So we were up to Summit. Gosh, I think it was the second day we were here.
Yeah.
And it was, first of all, a phenomenal flight up there. And the funny thing was, when you land on snow, it is so, it's like landing on a pillow. Because, again, we didn't know. And, well, of course, you know, the pilots are the best in the world. But, like, how do you do that? How do you get it so, to a point where you're literally, you just feel like you're just kind of, like, hovering. And then you're stopping. And then you're there.
It's all our stellar training.
Yeah.
the approach in is flown a lot different than normal approaches. Normal approaches are flown at about a 3-degree descent in. And we fly ours at about 1.5. So it's a lot more shallow of an approach, and we fly it a lot slower. So when it comes time to flare at the very end, it really does put it all on the very tips of the skis. So what you're feeling is it gently hitting the back of the skis and then toward the front of the skis, and then the whole plane is on the ground.
It was beautiful.
It was
and
perfect.
Just a little backstory. Summit, whenever we say that, we're talking about Summit Station. It's at the apex of the ice sheet. So it's like over 10,500 feet in elevation. And there are 2 miles of ice underneath it, which is just, I mean, think about how long a mile is. You know, you run it, run a mile, and then do it again. And you would still be running through ice if you were going, you know, down through the ice there. So it's remarkable. It's hard to describe the expansiveness of this ice sheet. You think of an ice sheet, maybe you picture a glacier or something like that. This is just mind-boggling how much water is frozen up here. But I digress. I want to talk about JADO because that is something that happens so rarely, but it's something that you guys have had to use. Have you ever had to use JADO?
Yeah, I did.
And describe what that is, because I'm just using the acronym.
It's a JADO. It's a jet-assisted takeoff is the JADO term, but we call it ADO.
Let that swirl around in your ears a little bit. A jet-assisted takeoff.
Right.
Jet-assisted.
They put rockets on the back of the planes, and they fire them off.
We have eight
points. The coolest thing in the world.
We have 8 points on the side of on the back of our plane where we can attach 8 different rocket motors.
And have you ever personally used it?
I did use it last year at Raven, of all places. I was out at Raven, and we had about a foot of powder and very soft conditions, and we were heavy as well. We landed, tried another 8 slides to kick off, and eventually we were just like, okay, it's time to fire the 8-0.
And so you guys, you get going, and does this happen, you know, initially when you're starting to bring up power, or is it at the end right before takeoff?
It's at the very end. We only get about 14 seconds of burn on the 8-0 bottles, and it'll add about 8,000 pounds of thrust. So it's roughly another engine when you factor in. So it's about a 5-engine Hercules at that point.
True or false, if you were to Google JADO right now, you would see an image of one of y'all's aircrafts out on the ice using it.
9 times out of 10, you'd see that. Either that or you'd see Fat Albert.
That's awesome.
The Navy Hercules.
not the character. So you guys, we're up here in Greenland, but you guys also do missions to Antarctica.
Yes.
We're on the next trip, I think, for Antarctica. Kate and I have already signed up.
Oh, are we?
No, probably not.
I've heard rumor it's a little sketchier down there for weather.
Yeah, it's a lot well, it is definitely sketchier. We have a lot of satellite blackout periods and just very... I think there's a lot less models out there for forecasting weather. So it gets dicey for us, and we do what we can.
How many times have you been to Antarctica?
3 seasons.
And how long do you guys typically stay there? Because it's quite a journey, especially on a C-130. It's not like you guys are able to put fuel to get you halfway around the world on one of those things.
No. Well, typically, some people will do 2 months at a time. Some people do 1 month at a time. There's very few people that'll do the entire 6 month season at a time, but it has been done.
What is the mission in Antarctica? What are you guys doing there?
We are supporting the National Science Foundation. We bring the scientists, their equipment, and any of their experiments out to all the outfield camps and resupply them, and also give them gas, which they burn for heating and energy or electricity at their out camps.
How's the Wi-Fi out there? Is it strong?
That's a good point. if I could put a plug in for some more Wi-Fi, this is where I would do it.
Let's get these guys some
hint,
Wi-Fi.
Hint.
Got to get them some Wi-Fi.
The little Wi-Fi, the penguins don't carry a very good signal, I hear. Their signal's a little weak. Oh, that fell flat.
That was a,
thanks.
Sorry, okay.
Oh, come on.
Just give me the mic. You can go do something
I
else.
I can leave now.
What do you do when you're not here? I mean, what's your job?
I'm actually a full-time guardsman, or AGR, an active duty guardsman. This is my full-time time job. When I go home, I'm still flying back in Schenectady, flying local missions, and then supporting big Air National Guard missions around the U.S. as well.
This is your life. That's awesome.
That's all I do.
Where are you from originally?
New Mexico.
Oh, wow. How'd you end up in New York?
I don't really know. It's kind of a weird story, but I had a friend who had a friend who had a friend who knew a guy here, and he pulled some strings, and that's how I got hired over here. I used to be active duty, so I switched over about 3 or 4 years ago.
And you like it, these missions? I assume since you kind of came to the unit for them that you might like them a little.
Yeah, it's a great mission. You're not getting shot at, and you're still going to a desert, but it's a white desert.
So you're from New Mexico. You thought, I want to go somewhere where it's sub-zero degree weather, and I want to land on snow and endure the most crazy environment possible. That's what I want to do. That's my jam.
Yeah.
New Mexico is too warm, too meh.
It's too nice. I mean, you can wear shorts
I get sick of all those sunny, clear days out there. Nice 80 degrees.
Well, you are certainly extreme. And everything you guys do here, if someone asked you, like, what is, like, the coolest part of your job? Not someone I'm asking. What is the coolest part of your job?
Oh, and by the way, there's a bus waiting for these guys too. So that's why you're just, let me just paint the scene for you. That's theater of the mind. We're right next to the runway. We're just outside by the air traffic control tower. Got a bus here waiting for some fellows to get over there to do some mission work. So,
and we're also in a bit of a valley. It was created by a glacier retreat.
It's a whole nother
story. Which is a whole nother story, and it's beautiful. So maybe we'll do another podcast on it.
We should.
Who knows? Okay, so back to our friend here. What is the coolest thing about your job?
The coolest part about my job is really just hacking the mission, making it happen when others think that it won't be able to be done, and coming back safe. Up here, it's getting a lot of training. Down in Antarctica, it's really about supplying the people who need supplies and getting back to our field home safe.
You are the reason we get great science. You guys know that, right?
I have been told.
you guys are the reason.
I love that you're hacking the mission. Yeah. That is the coolest line, I will say, from anybody.
Maybe that's the title of our podcast.
It's the title of the podcast.
It's hacking
well
the,
done.
Hacking the mish.
Hacking the mish.
Awesome.
It's perfect. This is great. Thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem. This is fun.
So where are we going next? Where are you going to take us next?
Hopefully
sneak
cool
us onto the cargo somewhere.
Yeah, are we going to hack the mission to cool school? You got to make us freeze. You froze. We got to freeze.
The look on his face right now is looking like this.
We may not
be
able to land, but you guys qualified in parachutes?
Yeah.
Yes.
Put a suit, put a pack on us. We'll give it a try. The winds are only, what, 50 knots?
You'll be fine.
All right. Thank you so much. And if you guys want to follow along with everything that we're doing in Greenland, check us out on Instagram. We have so much going on there. A lot of posts, a lot more information. And we also have a lot of stories coming out of here on weather.com. So in the coming weeks, we're going to be seeing a few of those pop up.
By the way, and don't forget, you know, you can always subscribe. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Store. Leave us a 5-star rating and give us a nice comment or something like that. And I know the 109th is... Good Lord, you guys are doing some amazing stuff. So
great, thank you.